listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Broadcasting from the Co-Certified Studios in beautiful downtown Burbank, this is National Bugle Radio.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio Financial Philosophical Fun Filbert Friday. Filbert, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yes, and I'm glad to have you. And we will be talking about, later on in the show, the Kavanaugh hearings and whatnot, because that happened today. And whatnot. But I think we should start with some of the other stuff, some of the stuff that we were talking about. What were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about Japan and the yen. We were talking about forex fundamentals, all kinds of stuff.
Talking about forex fundamentals, we were talking about something interesting, and it must have begun with the letter M, because I started writing down a note, and I only got as far as M.
Getting ready to meet your banker.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Well, maybe then let's start with Kavanaugh, and I'll remember as we go on. So, you were at work all day. But
I was.
So you know there's the Chris, what's her name? Christine Blasey Ford. And she was in the morning, and then Judge Kavanaugh was in the afternoon. And, you know, I do my shows in the morning. I did go back in and see/listen to some of Blasey Ford. Okay, first of all, she sounds really ditzy. Okay, she sounds kind of like an airhead, and had trouble answering questions. And she was flanked by these two Jewish lawyers. On her right would have been Deborah. What's her name? Short hair. She looks like a lesbian. I don't know if she is, but she's certainly Jewish. Deborah Katz, very famous lawyer for this type of sexual harassment type of stuff, and, you know, workplace harassment. And then on her right, I think was like Shlomo Shekelstein, or he looked like the Happy Merchant. I haven't found his name yet, but very, very obviously Jewish. And so she was flanked by them, and sometimes she would be asked a question, she'd start to answer, and Shlomo Shekelstein would take the mic from her and answer for her. Sometimes Deborah Katz was answering for her. So or he'd be whispering things into her ear and she'd answer. So, I mean, from right there, she wasn't even answering her own questions some of the time. And it was a very, very strange spectacle. A lot of people probably have seen it by now or seen parts of it, but the Democrats on the committee were just praising her. She's so heroic. She's so brave to step forward. You know, survivors, for a survivor to step forward after 36 years is so brave, and you're a hero to the American people. That's Cory Booker. That was the Aborigine lady. What's her name? From California, Kamala Harris. And that was Dick Durbin. And, you know, Dianne Feinstein was there too. Who else? That's how they were. The Republicans weren't asking any questions. Instead, they had this lady. And I don't mean to be mean, but she looked like she had down.
You're not mean.
Well, no, they had this lady who is, I guess, like an assistant deputy prosecutor in the county in Arizona that Phoenix is in. I guess it's the county that Sheriff Joe was sheriff of, and she specializes in prosecuting sex offenders, right? So, why the Republicans hired a lady who her entire job experience is prosecuting sex offenders for this is a little bit strange. And I don't mean to be mean, but she kind of looked like she had Down syndrome. She didn't. Obviously, she didn't, but she did look like that. She had that kind of face. And her hair was...
Yeah, like an Aborigine.
No, no, that's Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris...
Well, what's the difference?
Down syndrome is which used to be called Mongolism, like Mongoloid. Epicantal fold, which is like the Asiatic eyes, and you know there's just you know certain facial features that they have. The Aborigines have a very different look to them. So sorry to push back on that. This woman, I mean, it was like she had she had a wide face, a big wide neck, or to the extent she had a neck. But it wasn't the way she looked that was the issue. She was only having 5 minutes at a time to talk because they'd have 5 minutes for a Democrat, 5 minutes for a Republican. And the Republicans in the morning were ceding all of their time to this woman who was, it's seemingly methodically pursuing something, but you never really knew what it was because she'd ask questions for 5 minutes and she'd be asking who paid for the who recommended your lawyers, who paid for the polygraph test, and where was it taken, and you really never found out where she was going. And although I didn't see the end of the morning, apparently at the end of the morning this prosecutor from Arizona kind of summed up by apologizing for the format. So she was completely ineffective, and it meant that the morning was basically a love fest for this what's her name, Chrissy Ford, whatever her name is, who came. And you know, her hair was, and I'm not trying to get on people's appearance, but she was wearing these way oversized glasses. These reading glasses, they were just ridiculously oversized. And then her hair was...
That makes you look smarter.
Yeah, and then and she's a professor. And then her hair kept falling in her face. So, she, you know, she'd be talking, but she'd have her hair, like, hanging down over her glasses. And she couldn't remember things, but it was just a love fest for her. She was so brave. And, you know, she sounded ditzy and like an airhead. Okay, well then they have this long break, and so during the break, I had it on CNN, and so I look at the TV screen. Who do I see? Okay, I see from left to right, Jeffrey Toobin, Joan Piskupic, the only one I didn't know, but I looked her up, Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper. Gloria, what's her name? Gloria Bosher or whatever her name is, Bosher, and Dana Bash. Six people. And I checked on that Joan lady. All six of them are Jews, right? There were three other people on the panel who were like off on the wings. One was John King, who's a goy who converted to Judaism when he married Dana Bash. The other was...
They let him convert?
Yeah.
They don't let everybody...
No, but he was marrying a Jew. He was marrying Dana Bash, one of these women on the panel. And then they had this black lady, you know, their token black. And then there was someone who used to be the token black's name is Nia Malika Henderson. Very vacuous. They have her on their panels all the time. And then Ariane DeVogue, who apparently used to be an actress, but then they hired her to cover the Supreme Court or something. And she looks like she could be Jewish, but I'm not sure if she is or not. She's not big enough of a thing to have much of a Wikipedia page, and I couldn't track her down. But the six people in the middle, they were all Jews, and you know, and this was right after, you know, the Mrs. Ford, Professor Ford, was flanked by these two very extremely Jewish looking lawyers, and then the Democrats, you had Dianne Feinstein, and you had. Blumenthal, what's his first name, from the senator from Connecticut? I don't know, it's something Blumenthal. Max. No, I don't think so. No, Max Blumenthal is Sidney Blumenthal's son. Sidney Blumenthal was a close associate of the Clintons, but Max Blumenthal is, I guess, kind of his estranged son, who does good reporting from Israel and good reporting on the Middle East. But anyway, oy vey. So, you know, that was all bizarre. And then in the afternoon, probably a lot of people in the audience saw this, they had Judge Kavanaugh come on, and he gives an opening statement, which was quite long. And he said that he had written it and hadn't shown it to anybody except one of his former clerks, or maybe current clerk. He showed it to a clerk, supposedly, I would assume for editing purposes. So I guess he was emphasizing that, I mean, whereas it was obvious that Professor Ford was just reading statements prepared by her Jewish lawyers, this was Judge Kavanaugh speaking. It was his words. And he was really lashing out at the Democrats on the panel. It wasn't calling them out by name, but he was saying, one of you on the panel, and he'd be referring to Cory Booker, was calling me evil, and another was saying this, and you're dragging my name through the mud. And he was really, you know, showing a lot of anger, would you call it, indignation. Then when he started talking about his own family, he actually started sobbing. So he was, you know, and I was saying, come on, big guy, you got to pull it out, you know, suck it up or whatever. And he got very emotional, but it was for a long time. And then he wound up being questioned. And at first, it was following the same format, except the Democrats were, you know, pursuing hostile questioning. And the Republicans were letting this prosecutor, this female prosecutor, ask him questions. And what does she do for a living? She prosecutes sex criminals. So she's asking him basically confrontational questions. So he's not getting a break from anywhere. Now, during one of the recesses, by this time I had switched over to Fox because I couldn't take... I guess I started off on CNN, then went to NBC, and finally went over to Fox. And this would have been NBC because it was, what's her name? Megyn Kelly, who's now NBC. And she was making the point that, okay, so they've got, you know, the Republicans have abdicated their own questioning to this prosecutor. Why? It's not to help Kavanaugh. It's not to promote his chances of being confirmed. It's to cover their own butts. It's because, you know, they're worried about their own re-elections. So they were completely throwing him under the bus. This was her point, and it was a good point. I don't like her, but it was a good point. So it went on, and eventually some of the Republicans started speaking for themselves. And, you know, the first one that I heard speak from, you know, I was having to, you know, walk and bathe Mr. T and Mini-Me. So, you know, at times I wasn't hearing what was going on. But Lindsey Graham, man, oh, man, did he lashed out. He lashed out not just at the Democrats, and he was, like, really going off at them. But then he looks over to the Republicans. He must have been, I think Jeff Flake is on the committee, and he was looking over there and saying, if any of our Republican colleagues vote against him, I don't remember, you know, what his phrase was, but it was like, you know, you're going to have hell to pay. And Lindsey Graham is the last person I want to feel sympathetic to or like any kind of kinship with, but he was really the only person who was forcefully on the side of Judge Kavanaugh. And, you know, take whatever. Lindsey Graham, I guess his boyfriend John McCain is gone, and maybe he's thinking he's got to throw his lot with President Trump now. Who knows? But it was interesting, and I don't know what's going to happen there. On Friday, probably by the time this show is broadcast, maybe they will have had the vote in the committee, and then it goes on to the full Senate on Monday. But it was something.
It's almost the weekend.
Almost the weekend. And so this, And, you know, they're going into his yearbook, and I don't know, you know, he's younger than I am, but I still feel that more or less we're generationally from the, you know, more or less the same period, and so I hear about these parties, and I wasn't all that popular in high school, but I managed to get to a few parties, and there were parties where sometimes there were two kinds of parties, basically. And maybe it's the same in your generation. I don't know if this was part of your experience. But there were basically two kinds of parties. There were parties where the parents were there and the parties where the parents weren't there. And if the
I think that still goes on today.
Yeah. And, in you know, this was suburban Maryland, Montgomery County, very rich area. And these were prep school kids. And it's hard for me to imagine that there could have been too many parties where the parents weren't there. I mean, I could see the parents being busy, but you have one party with the parents not there, and the house gets ripped up. There's not going to be a second party, right? So either the parties have to be calm, or there's never going to be a second party there.
Yeah, or hush-hush until the guy becomes a Supreme Court nominee.
Yeah, hush-hush. So, now, I remember reading in, I don't know, in one of the magazines, Newsweek or Time, about one of the school districts around there where, but this is a completely different era, where there was a lot going on in terms of, like, and this wasn't high schools, this was like junior high school kids, and there was an awful lot of, oral sex. I don't know why I'm bringing this up, except that everything that was being talked about today was just like, it was really cringe-worthily embarrassing just to hear that this was the type of stuff that they were talking about, and the questions, and that this guy should have to go through it. And like I said, he was getting pretty emotional at times. But whereas the woman, nobody asked her anything that I could hear. I can't imagine anybody having asked her, you know, because there's all sorts of stuff that's come up about her, that she frequented this, was it Lewis Beach or Dewey Beach in Delaware, where, you know, there was like a big drug party culture, and that she was part of it, and this was going on for years and years. And there were police reports on Fast the Nation. Jazz Hands was referring to police reports of, you know, boys fighting over her. So, I mean, she has her own very checkered history. And Judge Kavanaugh, how much could he have been doing in terms of like partying and drinking and still managed to finish first in his class? And I think first in his class at Yale as well. So obviously he was doing a certain amount of studying.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. He ought to be commended, you know. And he's experienced, you know.
He's experienced. You know, he worked for President Bush, and he was, I guess, some sort of, what would you call it, like a personal secretary or something. He was maintained Bush's schedule or something like that. And to me, that's not the greatest credential. But regardless of what I might think of him, he's probably the type of person we want on the Supreme Court, given the options that are available. But at this point, it's gone beyond whether, you know, what he would be like as a judge. At this point, if he's not confirmed, it's given the Zio crazies a veto power. They can. Because, you know, it's not as if any woman can make an accusation and the Senate's going to deliberate on it. But any woman with these Jewish lawyers can, and with the Jewish media behind them, and to give them a veto power is pretty dangerous.
That's
okay.
Exactly what I was going to say.
All right.
About the media.
Well, let's talk about it after the break.
Thank you. Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Thank you.
Like the stuff of science fiction that you could upload somebody's or download somebody's memories onto a electronic chip.
Did you know that, you probably do know this, you're very smart, but did you know that scent is the strongest sense related to memory?
No, I didn't. But that's interesting, and maybe it's very mammalian. So where does that come from?
Well, psychologists from the fifthsense.org, I'm not sure how legit that is, but it looks like it's from the UK. It says that the limbic system, our nasal cavity is close to our limbic system on the part of our brain, and that's probably why scent is closely related to memory.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just wondering if any of the great products you have, I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the show. So, we were talking just before the break about the possibility of uploading or downloading, I don't know which direction you would say, memories onto a chip. And there's actually research into that, right?
There is. Probably by Elon Musk.
who was in the news today because the SEC apparently is suing him over his tweets when he was trying to, I think he was trying to squeeze the short sellers or something. At any rate, when he was trying to manipulate his share price by talking about taking his company private. So yeah. That might not be good news for shareholders. That might not be good for his company, but we'll see. But that is kind of the type of thing Elon Musk would do. And it seems like pure fantasy, like pure science fiction, but look how much...
Yeah, he's really into that.
Specifically, or that type of thing?
Well, yeah, to me, yeah, it looks like he's into it. I mean, most of the stuff he talks about, I mean, his cars are legitimate, but his stock is tanking. And I think all that rhetoric about going to the Mars with human beings is just, I personally think it's bogus. I don't think in my lifetime I'll see it. And if I do, then I think we'll see the first human beings to die on Mars, would be sad. You know, it'd be sad. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. People talk about colonizing other worlds, and look,
our bodies aren't designed for that. How are you going to maintain healthy bone mass in a level that isn't the gravity?
The gravity. The only way to do it would be to evolve into something that's no longer human. So what's the point? Right? I mean, people, like, especially you get some of these white nationalists, and it's like, yeah, white people, we're going to go build civilizations on other planets. Not only, once you get to other planets, if you were to survive, and the race were to survive, not only wouldn't it be white anymore, it wouldn't even be human. It would evolve into something completely different. So what's the point?
I agree.
Right? I mean, if... It's not as if people are lining up so that they can colonize Antarctica or the bottom of the ocean, which are much more suitable places for humans to live. But anyway,
if I may say, in the future, Antarctica may look like New Zealand now. You know,
it could with the global warming thing, and it has in the past. You know, there's dinosaur
That's
bones.
Right.
There's dinosaur.
There's
not just,
frozen underground lakes there too.
Yeah, not just dinosaur bones. There's marsupial bones. So it's been different climates at different times. Of course, it's been in different places on Earth in different times too. But I'm glad you mentioned the uploading, downloading of memory, because as far-fetched as it seems, if it's to become a real thing, it's going to be a real big thing. So, that's definitely something, and you never know.
And would you want it? You know.
Yeah, I think people would. I think there would be a huge amount of demand for it. Brett Kavanaugh. Getting back to that, one thing he had, because this woman had nothing, although she's got sympathy, she's got the media behind her, but she really brought nothing in terms of evidence. Brett Kavanaugh. Kept a diary calendar. He kept a calendar, but he would write things on it, where he went and who he was with. And he'd been keeping it, I guess he's been keeping one since 1978 or something like that, or 1980. His dad did. And of course, my dad wrote a diary. And I would sometimes, I went through periods where I wrote a diary. My mom kept a diary for years. And we don't do it anymore. But of course, nowadays, Facebook serves as a diary for lots of people. And I wish I did keep a diary, because I'd like to go back and say, oh, what was I doing in 1985? There's been a few periods of my life where I've kept diaries, but for the most part, I don't. But it's interesting to go back and look and say, oh, wow, that's what I was doing. You know, I kept a diary when I was 10 years old, I think, for about 3 or 4 months. And I got a diary for Christmas, and I kept it, and I can look back, and I went over to Paul's house, or I went and was playing with David, and we were playing football, and we were doing this, and it's like, wow, that's what I was doing at that time. I think there'd be a huge demand for it. I don't know about you, but I think there probably would be. And I wonder how accurate our memories are.
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting question.
But I think if I'm going to look into this, and I'm going to see where the research is taking place, and then whether there's viability to it, and then I might just buy up some of the stock if it's available.
I was going to say, and how to invest.
Yes, how to invest, because that's the type of thing. I was a little bit behind the curve on some things. I was so fascinated in genetics, and it didn't occur to me that I should try to invest in genetics until after it had already become a thing. I don't know why I didn't think of that. So that would be an interesting, the uploading and downloading of memory. Okay. You were mentioning the break. I was just talking about the genetics. Who's really interested in genetics? Who's Well, I mean, we know the Jews are, but who else besides the Jews?
Well, I mean, white people are too, you know, for good reason. I mean, I honestly don't blame the Jews in being interested in genetics, you know. Lots of white people are interested in their Aryan genetics too.
Well, yeah.
I guess I don't see anything particularly wrong with that in and of itself.
And the Chinese are interested in it too. Yeah.
But, we were the Mormons. The Mormons, actually. And there's nothing, I'm not trying to mention that in any derogatory way at all. I actually have some Mormon friends. They're very, very nice people.
Have you ever been to a Mormon dance?
No, I haven't.
They're lots of fun. It's lots of dancing, no drinking. And that's right up my alley.
Yeah. Well, they may party on the outside. Who knows?
Well, not on the
like
inside.
Like the Amish. Anyway, but the Mormons keep very good genetic records. And I don't know, some people don't know that. They think, they believe they can convert you after death. That's why.
That's interesting. Now,
and if they're right, I mean, would you like that or would you not? You know, if they're right at the end, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Philbert's more of an agnostic, so I don't really know if there is a God or not. So I couldn't say whether I want them with my genetics or not, but I don't know.
What do you think? Well, I don't want anybody with my genetics. I mean, I worry about the Israelis.
How do they get it? How do they get the genetics, too? That's something I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of ways you can get genetics. Obviously, you know, the saliva samples and...
Legally.
Legally, I don't know. Are they paying 23andMe? I mean, I'm sure 23andMe, when you send away your stuff, there's probably all sorts of... non-disclosure agreements and whatnot, privacy guarantees, but who knows? So it's interesting. So with the Jews/Israelis, I mean, the Israelis are interested in genetics so that they can identify Jews for immigration, and also so potentially so they can develop genome-specific bioweapons. Right? The Chinese seem to be interested in genetics so that they can create a master race. They can genetically engineer themselves into a master race. And it's funny that the Mormons would be interested in it so that they can convert people after death.
They're just trying to be nice.
They are trying to be nice. And I like the Mormons. And, you know, I like to dance. But the idea of going to like a smoky bar, I don't drink and I don't like smoke. But I'm too old to go to those places now anyway. But when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I did go to a Mormon dance once, and it was great. I would have happily gone more often, but I didn't. So the Mormons are into genetics, let's move on now to the Japanese. I have no segue for this, but the Japanese real estate, because we were talking about that too. What's going on with the yen?
It's doing good against the euro. That's all I'm looking at right now. Mm-hmm. So it's at 132.13.
And you've started looking into what we call fundamentals. So, you know, there's technicals when you're looking at the markets and you're looking at charts and 30-day moving averages and whatnot. And fundamentals, what does fundamentals refer to?
That's more looking at what the government plans to do with economic planning,
mm-hmm.
and financial planning. And with data releases, it has to do with, you know, how investment banks are going to put their money, where they're going to put their money, and how they're going to treat it. You know, the minute the Powell says that one specific word, you know, I mean, it's down to the, you know, second. That's something that the high frequency trading, the computers can't do, you know, with the fundamentals. So.
Yeah, so
anyway, it's a bit more complicated.
The macroeconomy and economic trends, and how do you learn about these economic trends? It's largely through government data releases and whatnot.
Yes.
So I was talking to, so you're talking about the yen, but I was talking to a Japanese real estate agent a few months ago because. I was saying, you know, Japan, it had, during the bubble of the late 80s and the early 90s, the value of all the real estate in Japan was more than the value of all the real estate in America. And, of course, Japan is, the size of Montana, I guess. It has about the area of Montana. Sorry. It was the real estate of just the city of Tokyo was worth more than America, just the city of Tokyo, and just the Emperor's Palace and its grounds was worth more than all the land in Canada. That's what it was. That was a bubble. It's collapsed since then. It collapsed in the 1990s. And as I was saying, during the bubble, because real estate was so expensive, you know, like the tiniest place that like a newlywed couple could move into was going to be $500,000. Some tiny little condo would be $500,000. Anywhere reasonable would be more, you know, a reasonable place to live would be close to $1 million, which was out of people's reach. And so they were moving farther and farther away from the city. And so you had basically a construction boom out in the way outer suburbs. Then in the 1990s, when the real estate prices collapsed, all of a sudden it was affordable to live in Tokyo again, and these newly developed outer suburbs were abandoned. And so
is it still like that relatively, how close?
Yeah, it's still like that. It's still like that. So you have these large towns and you know, housing developments that were built in the late 1980s that are, you know, 30% vacancy. I mean, there's just large areas where you have huge numbers of vacant houses. Now, it doesn't look like Detroit. It doesn't look like Cleveland. It looks okay. After the big earthquake in 2011, some of the places were damaged. And so what you're seeing is houses, you're seeing more and more vacant lots where the houses are being taken down. And that's what's going to happen. And so the real estate market outside of Tokyo is depressed. But Tokyo itself is booming. You've got the Olympics coming, and you've got the Chinese. You've got a lot of Chinese investment. And so this real estate agent was... I talked to a couple of real estate agents, and one was from the suburbs and one was from the city. And, you know, this is what's happening. You can invest easily in Tokyo real estate. They have these, they call them J-REITs, Japan Real Estate Investment Trusts, and you can get them in America.
You can do that with all around the world very easily.
Yeah, you can get European ones, you can get Australian ones. And so the Japanese ones, and the Japanese Real Estate Investment Trusts, you know, they're not all the same, but the ones that focus on, say, Tokyo office and or even residential and business or industrial land, they've been doing well, and they've been doing well for a long time. They've been doing well for a dozen years, and look like they're going to continue to do well. The way they're structured is the real estate investment trust will they purchase a bunch of properties, and they're collecting rents, and then the rents get distributed as dividends. And then there are these, you know, REIT indexes, or these investment funds, which will, it's like another layer on top. They buy shares in these various REITs, and you can buy a REIT fund, and that's what you would be buying in America. And they would have, you know, the Sumitomo Housing REIT as part of their portfolio, and the you know, the Nomura something or other REIT, and you know, they've got, so it's pretty widely distributed, and they've been doing well for a while, and it looks like they're going to continue to do well for at least a couple more years, probably even beyond the Olympics, as long as Chinese investment in Japan continues. And the Chinese are very interested in Japanese real estate. The Japanese are going to have to watch out for it, because they don't want to get bought up any more than we wanted to get bought up by the Japanese back in the 80s. So,
or like Canada is now.
It's who's buying up Canada? China? The Chinese?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially Toronto.
And probably Vancouver too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a joke going around Canada. Hong Kong reverted to the People's Republic of China in 1996, or maybe it was 97, but the joke going around Canada was, what happens in 1996? That's when Canada reverts to Hong Kong. Because it was...
Oh, that 99-year lease?
Well, yeah, but it was a joke because the Chinese, all these people in Hong Kong had been able to purchase Canadian citizenship. So they're all coming to Canada. We will be back after the break. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. It was really easy to get for all these people in Hong Kong.
If you're not a refugee, actually, it's very, very hard to get citizenship. Not hard, but they have actually stricter laws than the USA does. Like, you have to speak English or French. They're two national languages.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
You know, one of the things that's you have this Quebecois nationalism. This you've had over the past 40 years or so, you've had at least, is it two or is it three votes? I know they had, I'm pretty sure they've had two, maybe three votes on independence. They had one in the, right around 78 or 79. I think they had one in the early 90s, and I think they had one, what, 5 or 10 years ago. And if not referendums on independence for Quebec, they've had elections where that was the issue. And the one weird thing about this, do they still call it the Parti Québécois, the Quebec Party, is they're not ethnic nationalists, they're linguistic nationalists. And they've actually, I think they still do, but historically, they have promoted Haitian immigration to Canada because the Haitians speak French.
Okay.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Seems rather silly.
Yeah, so there's like a lot of Haitian taxi drivers in Quebec, but you know they don't want in Montreal. Oui. Yeah, they don't want to lose linguistic ground.
It bleu.
Well, okay. So anyway, so the Canadian real estate prices actually are quite high now, right? I mean,
they are. If you just go to Zillow, the real estate site, you can just go to look at regular homes that would, and not too bad of a neighborhood in your average city in America, probably with the population under 2 million, that I would think go for 70,000 to 80,000 here. You're looking at like 1-2 million. In Canada, all over the place, it's interesting, but yeah, it's crazy. And people joke around about moving to Canada when a certain president, gets elected, like Bush or Trump, and yeah, until you look at the the real estate prices.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look on Canada on the map, and it looks enormous, but I fly over Canada, and you look down, and there's nobody's living there. In fact, is it 90% of the population lives within, 50 miles of the U.S. border? It's, or 100 miles of the U.S. border? I mean, they all live very close to the U.S. border. It's like they're kind of huddling around trying to warm themselves off.
Yeah, besides Edmonton, heat. I think that's the largest city.
Yeah, Edmonton's way up there.
I'm not sure how large it is, but it's one of the larger cities.
I remember it as being, it's a few hundred thousand. When I was a kid, it had zero suburbs. It might be different now, but yeah, you've got Edmonton. Calgary's probably more than 100 miles, but not much more. But Edmonton's the one that's up there. Otherwise, Quebec, Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal, even Winnipeg is pretty close to Minnesota, and Vancouver's very close to Seattle. They're just over the border. Any given Canadian city is going to be way closer to an American city than to most other Canadian cities. Well, that's all we have time for today, Philbert. Thanks for coming on again.
Oh, it was awesome. It's a good weekend.
You too. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of this.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.